So today I feel to speak about the boat of generosity. They say there are different boats that act as qualities, and those qualities can take us from one side of the river to the other side of the river. Of course, we like to think that it's through our will and our knowing how to swim across that we will get to the other side of the river. But many traditions seem to point to kind of two different areas. One is what is in your hands to do. What actually nobody else but you can do. And what is not up to us. That which take us. So I like to see all this business of the spiritual path as just the tiny little movement from our side. I like to see and I feel more and more how all our struggle and all our working with and looking at and sitting and lying and questioning and everything is completely essential. Without this, like nothing else can happen, we can say. Like this is totally needed. And yet, something other than that is also needed. Let's say all our work, all our ups and downs and looking at and blah, 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 is our car. I had to deal with our car these days. So I had some problems. It's sick, as Gyani says. The car has a boo-boo. So, big boo-boo or expensive boo-boo. Anyway, it's as if this is our car. And yet, if we don't put gasoline or petrol, if there is not the something else element, the oil or the petrol in, we will not go anywhere. It doesn't matter if it is a Mercedes or a BMW, we say, this fancy one, or Renault, whatever it is. If there is not this other element, we will not get anywhere. If you know how to, then please tell me, because I like to try. So some of those boats, the boat of generosity in this case, you can say generosity is something that we can practice, or is also something that just by being involved in the inquiry and by being honest with oneself develops. If it doesn't develop, it means we are not being honest with ourselves, or we are not really doing a fruitful practice. I'd like to ask you, I have this curiosity, I'd like to ask you if any of you remembers asking to be born without being born, before being born. If any of you has this memory of asking to have this life. One by one, please. Not all at the same time. So, what is generosity? Again, it's so much related to this question.
Once I had to do a big challenge. I had a lot of fear for doing that. It was something I had to do on stage. And then I did it, and it felt really empowering. And then afterwards I had a conversation with myself on the paper. And then I did have something, a glimpse of before I was born, but it was many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a sort of a, I don't know, there was something in it about before I
mm-hmm.
was born, like, but I'm not sure if that is what you meant.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good to be open to that. It sometimes comes.
I
in this specific case, I'm asking, like, if you remember asking for this life, like asking to be alive. But yeah, if you can remember little before, then maybe can go back and get there. But yeah, some time is needed. Yeah, for that. Hafiz, I think it's Hafiz, says, even after all these years, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. What is generosity? Jesus says, I'm one with the Father. And if we really listen to that, or if I really listen to that, I could actually, like, stop speaking about generosity. I'm one with the Father. We can change words around if we don't like the word Father. This without boundaries. That which so naturally is in everything. How could we possibly be have been born without generosity? Not only from our parents, who had been through all the, I hope a fun moment, but then like all the trouble of raising us up, or all the fun, whatever the situation is. Something totally given, life, without even having asked for. I remember as a child being in the school. And having big troubles to follow the whatever the teachers were saying. I was just not interested in what they were saying. It was not a natural question for me. Like, what a percentage is, or what a noun or verb is, was not a natural question. So was okay, I guess, to sit there and listen. The answers to all those questions that I didn't put and that I had to learn. But there was a question, a very, very specific question, like really alive and vibrant, or you say, like really alive, which was, what is life? And I would be doing anything, like playing or jumping or just speaking or listening. And suddenly this question would pop, what is life? And it really felt as if the whole world would freeze, would stop. Any other question, any other answer, any other thing happening would just drop. Nothing seemed to be as important as that question. And yet, that question was not approached, was not answered, was not even a question in the setup of the school. So my most important question was not even a viable question in terms of academics. What is life? And just this feeling of being paralyzed. There is a sense behind this question. Without even needing to answer it, but a sense of everything being given. And in this sense of everything being given, a huge joy and a huge responsibility. If we can understand responsibility without weight, just responsibility, almost similar to potential, you could say. Joy and potential. If everything is given, why not to embrace everything? Also, my friend Jesus says, like, it would be stupid to light a candle and like to do like this to the candle. Like, it would be stupid. Like, we don't light a candle in order to cover it, or a light. Before, the lights were not through buttons, so we don't light a lamp to cover it. So perhaps we are not alive to be covered. Perhaps we have not been given life. I think in English it goes different. Perhaps we didn't receive this life just to cover it, to hide it. So in which ways we hide our life? In which ways we escape or run away from our potential? And how does it feel when we uncover this lamp, this life? How is it? What comes from that? Many times we understand meditation as a process of revealing or taking the veil out. Some people speak about kind of an onion. You have to take all those layers out. And we can force ourselves to be generous with life and to say yes to life and to uncover that which is made to be brilliant. And sometimes as we tune into the beauty, our own beauty and the beauty of everything, it's as if this process of revealing, uncovering, happens by itself. there is a lot of understanding about generosity and relation, like generosity involving relationship with somebody or to something. But I do feel that it is important to check in our own ways of embracing life or being generous with life or being honoring that which we are. It seems difficult to me that it seems difficult, like, to start speaking about giving or receiving and at the same time living in contraction within oneself. It seems impossible almost to be able to give, to share, without having been or being in touch with the abundance of life. How can I give without being plucked to the abundance of life? How to give without being sure if I will have enough? It seems a perfect ground for conflict. So where do we feel the abundance of life? Where or when do we feel it? That is a question to you. In which situations I can act without fear of losing. When I can move and dance in this life without a limit, like a pot that is that much filled. And then, as I live, give, walk, dance, this will diminish, like it will empty. It's a complete different way of living. Having a constant, a pot that refills itself constantly, that we cannot, we don't even perceive it as a pot, it's just like, or having a limitation in the idea of what we have, or in the idea of what is right for me. Now it is impossible to go beyond our own limits without falling into this sense of abundance. No technique will take us there. No matter how good we are with the technique. There is the petrol needed, the oil needed. There is the essential part of being plugged to something that doesn't run out, it doesn't end. Is always enough and more. Like the rain in this country never runs out. We also like a lot to feel sorry for ourselves. To come from the base or the starting point of thinking that this is not for me. Maybe for somebody else who knows how to do it better. And if we look closer and closer and closer to this self-pity, what we find is this inability to see the abundance of life. Inability to see the continuity. I also remember questioning as a child to many adults, like, how do you know that the sun will come tomorrow? Of course it will come. It always comes. This is for sure. But honestly, no adult, no book, no nothing convinced me that actually, really, 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 how do we know that the sun will come tomorrow? There's no way to know. And yet, it comes. We can choose to live in the constant doubt or constant questioning. Will the sun come tomorrow with all its excitement and certain kind of worry in the question? Or we can start to relax and drop the questioning, even if it is not answered, because I never got any cool answer. Even if it is not answered, can we drop the question? Could we drop the worrying or the excitement behind the question? and relax enough so that somewhere we know that the sun will come. It's typical also to be meditating even in this world of Buddhist kind of meditation, we can say, that says, like, constantly Buddha and the texts are, let's say, pointing to or speaking about the enlightenment. And actually, I find it very, very funny that some people had been practicing for 50 years and say, well, actually, yes, I practice, but this about the enlightenment, I don't think is possible. Sorry, like, what are you doing? Why not? Then, of course, there is the factor of all this. Hundreds of people speaking about enlightenment and not having met even anyone actually enlightened. That to me should be a question, an ongoing question for all of us that we hear the word enlightenment. Okay, if it exists, should be someone. If it doesn't exist, then let's say it doesn't exist. It's okay, we can keep on practicing. But let's be clear, it exists. Okay, show me someone. It doesn't. Just, it doesn't. Yes, but yes. What is this? We let ourselves to be foolish, how you say, like tricked around that so much. If I believe yes, then go to the end so that you can tell. If yes, then yes. And then go. And then tell us. If not, then practice for something else. But if we can feel, if we can recognize this generosity of life, this everything given, if we fully melt into that, then there is no doubt. Yes, this is for all of us, for everyone. And to get it or not is not even a problem. I'm one with the Father, he says. They say, he says. And why is so that we read it, or hear this, or read this, and still we think, yes, I believe so. He was one with the Father. Or no, no way, I don't believe so. Or I don't care about that. But how is that we hear that? We hear, I'm one with the Father. Or read that. And our minds go somewhere around 2,000 years ago, or something like that. Into that person who was weird and special and had some special powers, let's say. And yes, that is interesting. That person was one with the Father. Instead of year 2010, I'm one with the Father. I'm. We hear that, or we hear Buddha saying, I'm using big names. I know it in Spanish, in Catalan, whatever. They say when he woke up, he said, oh, maravilla de las maravillas, todos los seres son Buddha. Something like that. You know what he said, so I don't need to say it in English. Something like, oh, how wonderful. Everyone is Buddha. And we don't recognize in that sentence that he's saying, you are Buddha. He's not saying, I'm Buddha, for him to be Buddha. And like this for the rest, you know. He's saying, I'm saying this so that you realize that you are Buddha. You know, I'm one with the Father. I'm saying this, and someone writes it in this book, so that there is a bigger chance for anyone who happens to hear that or speak about this possibility realizes that this is your case. this is what is, that there is no escape. It doesn't, maybe it doesn't happen this life, next life, who cares? There is no escape. This huge, it takes a huge, huge courage to say yes to life. To let this question, what is life, to move everything around. To be shaken by the question. In a way that would be impossible for us to not die for truth. It would be impossible to want anything else but that, which is what we are here for. We live our lives, our human lives, as elephant lives, or monkey lives, or snake lives. Without putting down any of those animals. But in any case, it's our human life and it's not lived as human life. What means to fully realize the potential of our lives? Our full potential. And in which ways we say yes, and in which ways we see ourselves saying no. Saying, oh, it's not for me. Oh, I have too many thoughts. Oh, I have 3 children, it's impossible. Oh, my work is so hard. Oh, my cat has a boo-boo. Oh, I live in a city. Oh, I have no friends. How long we are going to wait to say yes to life? To have the courage to look just a little beyond me and my problems. To see what is given, the amazing thing that is given. And that we definitely have the option to throw it away, but I would not know to which recycling pot to put it, so we may as well like take it in and grow up with it. Is there any question about all of this? Mm-hmm.
Just what you're saying, it sounds like if you say yes to life, that everything's destiny or predetermined, because what's your thoughts on that?
No, if you say yes to life, you say yes to life. Then, like, what you are is fulfilled. But that doesn't mean that, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is a pre-road of that. It means that, because What I feel is that we are creative with life. It's not all written. But the important thing is this yes to life, so that full relaxation can happen. Like that we meet what we are here to meet. Because actually we speak a lot about relaxation, but we cannot fully relax till we meet our beloved, like, till we get to know our own heart, we can say. Will be always some discomfort, and this discomfort is, you know, when you are driving, sometimes this light pops, one funny light, whatever, radiator or whatever else is there, like pops to alarm you that you should do something about it, like stop or so. It's a little bit similar, this discomfort in life. It's this light that it says, yes, but not fully. Yes. So this is the discomfort that is very important to listen. Mm-hmm. And through listening that, we can deeply and more honestly say yes to life. Yes, to that which has less discomfort.
Can I see? Can I ask something? What strikes me, and it's maybe the language more than anything, is that the thing that comes between me and a sense of abundance is me. And the more emphasis I put on I getting things from the world, it creates a separation between me and what is actually a very abundant world. And so one of the possible paradoxes or dangers is that the more emphasis I put on my practice, the more I get in the way of that sense of gratitude or generosity. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes
sense. So I don't have a sense of, I mean, you were saying, what about people who are liberated or enlightened? I mean, I've met a lot of people who've had experience of liberation and enlightenment. And the one thing that they seem to share is that they have got out of the way.
They got what?
They have got out of the way so that the self with a big S has moved out of the way, and they have had a direct experience.
Yeah.
So they don't go on about my practice and what I'm going to get. And
yeah.
They have a recognition that above the clouds, the sun is always shining. So there is a danger for me in me focusing too much on my practice and what I'm going to get. And
yeah, yeah. I hope I'm not saying my practice.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah,
you
no,
saying
no, no,
it.
But
I'm talking
yeah,
about
yeah.
when
yeah, yeah. There is
come
there is
here,
there is a clear danger. Yeah.
There's a built-in
yeah.
risk that
yeah.
you come here hoping that you. I am going to get something that is separate from me.
Yeah.
And you just create even more of an illusion, and you feel even more of a sense of lack.
Yeah.
Whereas you're already there, which is what you've said for the whole week, really.
Okay, I can shut up then. Like, I'm very happy, like. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There is a clear risk, and if you, I mean, we all know if we are in the meditative world, Oh God, sometimes I got like sick of meeting people who meditate, because at the end, really, sometimes I just want to call one of those old friends and have a beer. You know, just that it's not about me, my practice, my work and these and reflections about these. Just, you know, like sometimes like this meditative world can become like, I mean, pretty disgusting, like pretty like
what?
So around me or where I'm going, you know. And I think if we have been, whoever have been a little bit in this world can smell that, you know, and there is something very, very beautiful about sharing with other people who are in the same boat and practicing, and it's really important. And yet sometimes it's like, oof, give me some air, you know. And yeah, it really can happen, that the ego, instead of dissolving, it grows like a monster. Yeah. So we may all have the courage to take this boat of abundance. So that the yes to life is not a struggle, but the obvious thing, the natural way to go.